I spent many a nights and many a weekends tuned in to this woman right here. This is one of my most favorite singers. So anyway, welcome to Dr. Lovely's Couch Cafe. Show's Dr. Lovely here. I'm in it again. Oh good God. You know, I was catching up with my friend Danny today, and it's been a while since we talked or whatever. And I was catching him up on shit's been going on and whatnot. And we, I was telling him about the accident, and that accident where, what it really taught me, it taught me life is fucking short. Life is short. You are here one day and you are gone the next. So if you don't start living, enjoying, and taking advantage of the time you have, you'll look back and your whole life is fucking past you by. Life is too fucking short. And I was telling him that what I gained out of that accident, one, God is good. God is good. I walked away. My child was in that accident. I remember seeing where that car was going to hit, but still being able to, you know, go from it, but still, God is still walking and blessing and doing and giving and growing, and I am grateful. And don't get me wrong, niggas, my job, you know, is something. But it has been it has been really good sitting in this space. So talking to my most bestest friend in the world, whom I got a chance to talk to today, and it wasn't long or whatever, but I miss him. And as my, you know, my coworkers were asking me about, you know, my coworker trying to hook me up or whatever, you know, she was like, just asking, because she knew of him. And I had told her that, if power was in my hand, And I could turn the clock back and change many actions and many different things. There's so much I would do differently. Oh my gosh, so much I would do differently. So that we would be in a good space today. I assume it's just too, it's gone too far to turn back, I guess. I don't know. It's one of those things that kind of plague my mind when I'm reflecting and trying to figure out where things went wrong. And how did we end up here? And if I had the opportunity to wipe the slate clean and start over fresh, I would take that. But I don't know what would come of it, even if I offered it. You know what I'm saying? Because I have been trying to see how we can patch this thing and make it work. Yeah. So, y'all, life is short. You have somebody you can share your life with. And y'all really in a good place. You do everything in your power to make it right. You know what I'm saying? You do everything in your power. You got to be willing to do everything in your power to make it right. And as stated, I'm not perfect, but I made some bad choices, some wrong movements. But mentally today, I'm in a completely different space. And none of that would be or would have been accomplished without them. I wouldn't be the therapist I am. I wouldn't be the leader I am without them. So when we talk about being in relationships, right, where you actually can grow from them and that you're able to sharpen each other and make each other grow. Remember when my employee asked me that yesterday when she said, what is it? You know, give me like 5 things, pinpoint. Be willing to admit when you're wrong. Because that still ties back to unselfishness. Learn from your mistakes. Because they make you a better person. And never give up hope and fighting until there's no fight left. But you still gotta be willing to humble yourself. Have humility. Above all things, Father God, you know. And let me tell you, one of my highlights of the day is, niggas, y'all already know I got ADHD, nigga. I got, man, listen, I got to learn to get more structured. I realize I'm not. I've gotten better. But I know I need more structure. I'm 2 days late on the phone call I received on Friday, on Monday. And it was a mother who had some children that was going through some stuff. And I was supposed to call because they wanted a service dog. So they got the service dog. I was just trying to figure out what is it that they actually needed from us so that we can support them, you know. And I know they ain't called my ass today because it was late in the day when I finally got to her. But to hear that something as simple as a dog can change your child's life. Because she said ever since they got the dog, they've been doing so much better. And as I was talking to her about the dog, because it was a pit bull, I thought about someone. He has a natural ability, and he loves animals. Or at least I know he loves dogs. And I thought if there are a couple things that he actually can do, right, and create a business from. Work on cars, which is one. But, you know, he's good with animals. And if he could train them or create a business to train dogs for children who are suffering from mental illness, he'd kill it. And I wonder what that would, if he had the opportunity to do that, how successful his business would be. But that's neither here nor there. You know, men, when they talk about the importance of having a woman that, and take me back to what the man said. I think that was Monday. I played that clip when he talked about you having a woman that can see you, your gifts and talents, and they want to nurture your gifts and talents, right? When they trying to nurture it, listen. Because they can be the catalyst to helping you become financially secure. Because when I think about ways that he could actually grow and be financially free, like stability for him, it's always a business in mind. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm gonna leave that alone. Anyway, let's move on. Yeah. So we own chapter 5, right? I don't know what I do with my inhaler, but me. So my son got a CBD. Oh, vape in the room, niggas. I done took up smoking that nigga's vape from time to time, goddamn. And that's some shit I never would have thought I'd be doing. Anyway, moving on now, goddamn. My daughter came in here when I told her I smoked the vape today. This nigga said, you smoking the devil's grass. Nigga, that shit was hilarious. But I had told her since my ADHD is so bad, which at times causes anxiety, Nigga, yeah, that shit worked. It calmed me down. The goddamn, matter of fact, it relaxed the shit out your ass. So, yeah, I never would have thought. But it's definitely some real shit. Anyway, moving on, goddamn. Shit. I need to fan it, goddamn, like it's can't see shit. This is the narrative of the generations of Adam. Because it says man here. But the Hebrew translation is Adam, right? And let's get to that. I take that back. That wasn't the height of my motherfucking day. Hold on 1 second, but let me find Adam. His name, right, is Adan, Ad-O, or Adin. The name derives from Adam, right? In Hebrew, Adam, the first human according to the Hebrew Bible, which is in turn derived from the noun Aduma. Aduma means soil or earth. When used as a noun, right?
Adam.
Adam means man or humanity, right? So when you see him talking about the seeds or the sons of Adam, you already know he's distinctively talking about someone else. But even though Christianity, they don't talk about this. God damn it. They don't talk about it. And it's a reason why they don't translate that over. Because if he say sons of Adam, y'all niggas gonna start questioning shit. And you know they can't hear that now, goddamn. I take it back. Let me tell you what the height of my day was. I did an intake 2 weeks ago with this young lady. She was coming in for medication management. Medication management is when they just want medication and they don't really care about seeing a therapist. They just want the medication to manage, you know. But you still got to see a therapist because that's how we do our program. Anyway, long story short, right? I seen her. Well, Angela told me that she had called. And when I called her, she forgot what she wanted. But when I saw her today and I was like, hey, Miss Lady, she had the most biggest smile on her face. And I was like, come on, come to the office. Let's talk. Cause you remember you wanted to talk to me the last time. But you forgot what you wanted. So I asked her how she been and what's been going on and whatnot. And she says, I've been bad. I was like, how you been bad? She said, I've been on Facebook making niggas mad. I was like, damn, I remember those days. And I was telling her I'll outgrown them because niggas, I would hit your ass over the head with the tour. Niggas, you shouldn't be doing this, niggas. You should be doing that, niggas. Come on, let me show you, niggas. But I thank God I've been delivered from doing bullshit. God is good, nigga. I promise you. I was like, yeah, that was me a couple months, a few years ago. You know what I'm saying? When I first came into the understanding of our ancestry, I wanted all the niggas to be free, goddamn. And I was going to tell you now, goddammit. And y'all was going to listen. Yeah, I've definitely grown. I got to thank Yehovah for that. So, as we're talking, she told me she was making a bed because all motherfuckers was gathering up food and shit, talking about, oh, yeah, we going, we getting all the food and it's the eclipse. And she said she was talking shit because people were talking about the world was going in. So we was having a conversation about, you know, Yehovah and, you know, what the word said. And I had told her that, you know, the most awe-stricken, right, thing that really hit me this week was when you really realize that the Shaitan, right? Because when we say Shaitan, you know, Satan or the devil, we know we ain't talking about an entity, right? And that they used the nation of Israel, right? And let's remember, right? Because we know that the characteristics and a lot of the prophecies concerning Christ has been borrowed and retransformed. And when I say borrowed, those prophecies that are in the Old Testament reflect the characteristics and the movements and prophecies that they utilize in the New Testament to establish him not only as a God, but to show that he actually is in the Old Testament, right? So I told her, I said, when you take into consideration, right, when Yahuwah said Israel is his firstborn, right? He says this. He says, Israel is even my firstborn, right? And mind you, that when you say that to people, right, that is, that tells you that Israel is his firstborn. So how can Christ be the Son of God, right? They go ahead and say, well, Jesus is God, so, you know, that don't really matter. But really, it don't matter? It don't matter, right? That don't matter. Well, if I have two sons, and one of my sons is the oldest, and I raised him up accordingly. So when you think about what the firstborn represents, they are the one who inherits everything. Not saying that the other ones don't get nothing, man. Oh, nigga, now, goddamn. Hold on. Let me keep going on with this, right? And you got I have two sons. They like both of them can't stand in the same space, right? One can only be the firstborn. And the firstborn can only receive the inheritance. Now, there are certain cases where the firstborn does not get the inheritance. And that happens a couple of times in scripture. One time with Ishmael and Isaac. Another time with Jacob and Esau. But Jacob and Esau, the first time that they actually had the same father and the same mother. But mind you, they were twins. And they were wrestling in their mother's belly. They were wrestling up until the time she gave birth to one of them. And one of the younger brother was holding on to the heel of the older brother. And because of his name, he's called a supplanter. To supplant is like a chess move. They outmaneuvered someone. Oh, Sookie, come on here now, goddamn. So when you say there's no it's not important that the firstborn is Israel and Christ is mentioned as God's son. There's no difference, right? But let me read this to you, and then I'm gonna get where I was at before I got that. Okay, hold on. I had to type two different things so I can just go on and knock it out at the same time. Now, you got Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. And Yehoah says this. He says, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus says Yehoah, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. He is my son. But I want you to understand, he is my firstborn son." Didn't say he didn't have no other sons. Didn't say, you know, that was the case. He said Israel is his firstborn son. "And he said unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, even your firstborn." Oh, shit, niggas sound like a challenge to me. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, it does. He said, "Let my son go." And this is the last plague that hit Egypt, right? And he's declaring something. One, he's declaring that Israel is his firstborn son. And as a right unto the firstborn's rite of passage as the firstborn, he has a heritage. Now let me show you how sticky these niggas are. Guess what hit my ass as I was talking about this? The prodigal son. I know niggas. Now listen to what this says. Woo! Listen. I'm gonna prime you now, goddammit. I'm gonna prime you, right? He the firstborn. But there's some slick, tricky shit going on, right? Because mind you, the firstborn has what? A heritage. A place that no other son can take. Listen. This is found in Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. JC continued, "There was a man who had two sons." Father, what was it? Huh? And the younger one said to the father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." Woo! Well, if we take this back to Jacob and Esau, talking about the two brothers, right? If we taking this back to the 12 tribes coming up out of Jacob, huh? Well, and Esau actually had the what? Heritage. But Jacob, he wasn't the firstborn, therefore he wasn't attached to it. But remember that I said this to you now, goddamn. Remember, niggas, that I told you that New Testament is all about the children of Esau. Well, you want to understand? If we look at these two brothers, it's Jacob and Esau. And the firstborn son is Jacob. I'm sorry, is Esau. And the second born son is Jacob, the one that wasn't really supposed to get the heritage. Listen to this shit right here. Are you ready, niggas? All right. I had to prime you now, goddamn. Listen, the father gave me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. We know the oldest son, what he get is not the same as the youngest son. Right? The oldest son gets the better deal. But listen, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a destined country. What was it? Ha! Woo! Huh? Did they telling us something? Okay, listen. Mind you now? And there squandered his wealth in wild living. Well, if you take into consideration, they talking about the second born son being Jacob and how wild and niggerish they was being. And God had to deal with them because they was doing too much. If they was doing too much. Listen. Okay. Hoo-wee. After he had spent everything and there was a severe famine in that whole country, he began to be in need. Well, if they the niggas that's marginalized and have a hard time making it happen, Captain, and need it, and they were far away from their daddy. Just listen, niggas. Listen. So he went and hired himself out a citizen of that country who sent him to his friends to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him any. Well, if you realize that pigs are fed in a trough, and he's saying that he was so hungry and destitute, but that he was willing to eat from a place that is definitely a violation of Torah, because you ain't supposed to eat pork, right? But, whew, talk to his father today. But he hungry, and eating a pig is bad, but eating from where it eats is the same, right? So you defiling your temple if you do that. You will be defiling your temple if you eat pork. You'll be defiling your temple if you eat from anything that a pig ate from. Anything that it touches, mind you now. About those dietary laws and the laws of how we keep things clean, those Kodesh things. Listen. Whew, come on now. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against you. I'm sorry. He said, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Well, I don't know nothing about heaven, so why would he be sinning against heaven? He sinned against his father. And his father alone. So we ain't including other entities in the heavens. Mind you now. Because he's speaking to some other shit when he say that. But listen. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. To be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Sound like servitude to me, niggas. So he got up and went to his father. Well,
I'm out here being mistreated by everybody else, and they don't even care about my disposition and the shit I'm going through to even lend a hand to help me. Huh? You hear what I'm saying? Listen. But I come from a wealthy father. And my father treat his servants way better than this. I know I done squandered my birthright. Come talk to me. But I'm better off where my father is. Listen now, listen, niggas. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. For he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven." He said heaven first before he even say he sinned against Yahweh. But if you understand the pantheon of the Greeks, you understand what he's saying here. But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebration, for this son is mine. His was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found." So they begin to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Where we going with it? Let's talk about them Jews that's keeping your principles." But we gonna keep talking, niggas. Let's keep it up. "You have never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you killed the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found." Now I have a good notion to realize there's something twisted about this. But we still gonna take back into consideration that the firstborn son is God's firstborn son and entitled to the rights. But these slick ass knees, not only made you forfeit your own birthright that you already squandered, and gave you a man to worship, and that's what I told her. It wasn't until all the niggas in the world knew that Israel, who Israel was, before everybody, really, the whole world just went batshit crazy and literally copying everything black people do. Niggas, I'm from LA, goddammit. I saw a series of videos on TikTok yesterday. Niggas, I saw Japanese, these young Japanese people doing the Hoover stump. And a lot of y'all in Alabama won't know what that is. and doing the blood walk, these niggas literally had khakis on and a checkered red and black sweater. I mean, checkered red and black flannel shirt. Like the cholos wear. Now, that's the interesting part, because they mixing shit all up now, goddamn. They was dressed like bloods doing the blood walk. I said, ain't this some shit? I told baby girl today, I said, listen, if the scripture is telling you that Israel is the firstborn son, and that all the people are supposed to flock unto them, that they will gravitate unto them and seek their counsel. And it was our due diligence to teach the nations how to worship Yahuwah in fullness. Now, goddamn. When in the history of anything that you've seen the whole motherfucking world do the shit that you've been seeing lately? They not following Africans. The niggas are, but they not. Even the Africans are capitalizing on black topics on YouTube. And when I think about the father saying, my people perish for the lack of knowledge, and because they reject knowledge, I'll reject their children. Man, as we were sitting and talking, my people don't consider me at all. They don't. He said, wherein have we wronged you? Where do we violate God? Like, why is it that you tripping, God? Like, we ain't did nothing. God, we haven't done anything. Why you mad at us? Why you doing this to us? What have we done? Niggas, you can't tell me. Listen, you can have a conversation with all these niggas around town, goddamn, about what I'm saying to you, what I've been saying. And the first thing they gonna tell you is there are many gods. We had a conversation about the Catholic Church. They're called the Universal Church for a reason. What is universal? That's a plug. You can put that in anywhere, no matter what. They got universal sockets. Universal mean you get in where you fucking fit in. It is what it is. You know, it's similar, but it's not the same. But it's all good, because we're similar. Now, if you're not really thinking about the fact that all of Christendom started with the papacy. And I know, niggas, I know. Y'all gonna be like, it's the Bible, because they translated the Bible too. So do we just throw that out? Clearly, the Bible is talking about shit that you ain't never heard in a Christian church. Especially if you've been listening to this podcast. You goddamn well know you ain't hearing none of this. At all. It's the universal church. But when you start looking up these religions, who translated them? Who translated them so they mimic Christianity, universal church? Who gave them to you to study so you have access to, universal church? Oh, come on, y'all. Let's get to it. Because I know niggas. I done already went off on a goddamn tangent. I got one more thing to read to you, goddamn. Because remember when, I think it was the day before yesterday, and I told y'all needed to know the etymology of the word God? Yeah, I said that. I did. So, God, right? The etymology of the word God. Also God. O English God. supreme being, right? Deity, the Christian God, image of a God, God-like person. See, now that's what you did me right there when it said God-like person. Well, how we know that's it? It comes from the proto-Germanic Gunthum of Old Saxon, Old Farsian, Dutch God, Old High German Gott. Now, remember how y'all used to say Gott? Oh, God. And your parents used to say, thought you were saying God. Yeah, that's dang. But Gott, or goat, or good, or goop, which is of a certain origin, perhaps goot, that which is to invoke. So the word God means to invoke. To call. But some traces of the word is go to, or pour, or to pour, or to pour a libation. To pour. Also the phrase kite. Gaia. Oh, shit. Nigga. Oh, nigga. Oh, nigga, nigga, nigga. God damn. Poured earth. So when you say G-O-D, you're invoking Gaia, Mother Earth. Woo! Father! Father! Heal your people, because niggas, we all fucked up. Oh, God damn. Listen, listen. Kut Gaia, poured earth, referred to a burial mound. Oh, nigga, come on here. Get the wall, nigga. Nigga, listen, listen, listen now. Listen, this is critical as shit, right? This is it. Also see Zeus. Well, what originally neuter, now dramatic, the gender shifted to masculine after the coming of Christianity. It was a feminine pause. Oh my goodness, niggas. Oh my. Whew. Father, help us. Originally neuter and dramatic, the gender shifted to masculine after the coming of Christianity. Probably was closer in a sense to Latin numen, a better word to translate Dios. And Zeus. But this was used only of the highest deities in the dramatic English, and not of foreign gods. And it was never used of the Christian God. It survives in English mainly in the personal names beginning in Os. But if we just take it to Osiris, is Osiris not Zeus? Is that not who y'all worship now? Iezus. Iezus. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, God. Pop, forgive me. Niggas, you know. Because we ain't invoking shit. Okay, so. So, the original derivative of the word G-O-D. Go back to the worship of the mother goddess, who is the god Ishtar, whom y'all worship for Easter. What the monkey? Niggas. I know. That y'all don't like a nigga. Cause you be thinking niggas be tripping and thinking, making shit. And you know, niggas be thinking niggas be doing shit to you. I know you don't like boo. Alright, I'm done. God. I'm sorry. Father. We around here invoking all these false gods. Listen, when you heard me say English is a cursed language. Full of curses. We be cursing ourselves all over the town. Goddamn. That's what we be doing. Father. I mean. Okay. Just help us. I gotta go. I'm gonna do some more studying on this. Yeah. We gonna take that to the next level, niggas. Oh, you best believe it. Huh? You best believe it. Oh, Father, we are something. Man, the enemy is wicked, niggas. He is fucking wicked. We really have not understood in fullness what that up. Listen. We really don't get it. We got the Sam Hill. Okay, whatever. Let me look at the thing. I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't forget where my tab was because I can't find it right now. I don't need better shit. I'm sorry, y'all. I was just trying to find my place. Okay, I found it. I'm sorry. Okay. I will now sing for my beloved, the song of my beloved about his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard in a fertile corner. When it comes to the explanation of I will sing for my beloved, the prophet says, I will now sing for my beloved. And in his place, and as his messenger, Yehovah will wage war for you. For you, not to you. That's Exodus 14:4. If God said he would wage war for us, and you recall me saying that when Israel was doing what they were supposed to and they was following the principles of God with no problem, And they really didn't have to do anything. Let me tell you how good God is. If you remember me reading what the neighbor said about, you know, them returning to owning their land again, and that Yahuwah will restore us into our rightful place, and all of the nations would leave here. And if you really think about the Muslims first starting off by telling the Jews to get out of their land because it don't belong to them, it belongs to the niggas who are the real Jews, the ones in America, and they set a declaration to do that. Then you had Putin lining right up behind that and declaring something, even though, goddamn, they on that Jesus tip, all of them. Let's just throw that out the door. If you can just speak of the Muslims and just let's just look at Russia backing you and willing to go to war for you because of who you are. God is already setting shit in motion if you really want to think about it. And as always, mind you how he said we never had to fight our battles, but God would move on our behalf. They moving already like chess pieces on a board because we ain't even really paying attention. Because we too busy working and following the rest of the days of our lives to even really know what's about to go on. When you really think about what we face, and I had a conversation with someone today talking about they didn't have a job and they wanted to get, you know, they were looking for work and it was hard. And I said, it's finna get even harder. I know you don't like it when I say it, but a truth is a truth nonetheless. When they ain't already started implementing robots into society and they fired all them large numbers of people and people already in a mindset that they don't want to work, but that's not it. Nah. They're also introducing a new pay system where, you know, you don't really have to work if you don't want to. They got funds and money that'll just come to you and you can sit on your ass all day and just receive a check from the government, you know. And then you got them talking about deconstructing the whole American government system. So that would take away a whole lot. Some of the programs and funding and everything that the people need is going to be gone. So let's just say we tied into Social Security. I'm 50 years old, goddamn. And I done worked half my life. Now tied into the Social Security system, right? If it tanks tomorrow, I will have nothing to rest on if I die. I'm sorry, not die, but if I get hurt and I can't work no more. Not only will I not have Social Security, but I can't even get disability, right? Because Social Security and disability rest on the same goddamn system. You know, just saying. So it's so much going on we ain't even paying attention to, but we ain't also working together to get shit done. We ain't collectively as one unit, period. Ain't no joining together. Ain't no putting no money in the savings or putting the money together. Let's work it out, niggas. Goddamn, y'all nigga women and nigga men at odds with each other right now. Y'all can't get along right now. And y'all don't realize they done set y'all ass up with this bullshit that y'all fighting each other for just because they don't want you to be together. We falling into the same prey. You know how y'all won't work around, don't want to be married, don't want to have a relationship and get shit together and work together to build shit so y'all can be able to work harder together to be able to pull resources. Can I say it one more time? We've fallen for the ideology that's literally driving a wedge between the black family. And nigga men and nigga women walk around here thinking they better off being single and alone. Because you haven't realized how fucking hard it's getting. And the fact that we can't work together to store up shit. To start putting shit away. To start putting food away. To start putting water away. To start putting medicines and resources away. You ain't looking at this shit, huh? You not seeing it, are you? Really not seeing it, are you? you've bought into the narrative that it's better to be alone. Or for y'all hating each other. Fighting against each other.
That's the narrative you bought into.
Did a good job at it. Y'all followed right in suit.
Psychology is a motherfucker, though. This is the song of my beloved that he sang for his vineyard. About his vineyard.
And the people of the place asked about his wife. About his wife. His Isha.
What he's talking about here is someone he loved. And he's referring to the fruits of the labor between the two of them. And how fruitful the vineyard was. So when we look at the natural sense, we're talking about God and Israel. And the land that he gave them that was very fertile. It produced great things, beautiful things, goodly things, yeah. And he fenced it in. And he cleared it of stones. And he planted it with a choice vine. And he built a tower in its midst. And also a vent. He hewed therein. And he hoped to produce grapes, but it produced wild berries. God is talking about
Israel, or the people here. That which he planted on good soil. We were good soil. But somewhere we went wrong. And now, dwellers of Jerusalem, the men of Judah, judge now between me and between my vineyard.
Judge now. The good man of standard, who he's talking to? The dwellers. The people of Israel and the men in Judah. Notice he don't even address the men of Jerusalem.
Why is he talking to the men, though? He's talking to the men because it's your responsibility to lead the family. You're supposed to guide us. In righteous judgment. So if you fail to lead your family, to set them up in a good space, okay.
And mind you, here we go again, God saying, judge him. Judge me. Catch me and these people I didn't put together and I didn't granted and gave goodly things to. I didn't set up and made them a choice vine, a goodly people. A people who have an influence on them that's so great they don't even realize the power and magnitude of what that actually fucking means. We really haven't realized the fact that our movements impact the lives of other people.
And I will make it a desolation. It shall neither be poured nor hold. Oh, shit.
And the shamar and desolation will come up over it. And it will
command the clouds not to rain upon it.
We have so many chemtrails nowadays. You don't even know what natural rain really is.
For the vineyard of Yahuwah of Sabaoth of Israel and the people of Judah are the plant of his glory, and he hoped for justice, and behold, there was injustice, for righteousness, and behold, an outcry. Father God in heaven,
okay, the interpretation for the vineyard of Yahuwah, Sabaoth, the God of Israel, or the host, is the house of Israel. The vineyard, he already told you the vineyard is Israel. For the house of Israel is to me like that vineyard. And the 10 tribes were to me like a vineyard producing wine, like an olive orchard. In a fat corner, in a fat land, producing anointing oil for the priesthood, anointing oil for the kingdom, anointing oil for the menorah, oil for the meal offerings. I fenced them in because with the encirclement of the clouds of glory in the desert, I cleared them of stones, and I cleaned them of the transgressors of the generations, and I planted them with the choice vines, 606 commandments. The choice vine is the 606 commandments. 13, some people say. Some say less. But all y'all keep is 10. Like the numerical value of Salik, I added for them to be 7 commandments that the children of Noah are commanded. And I built a tower in their midst, my tabernacle, my temple, and also a vet, and altar, and the pits, by the side of the altar, unto which the remainder of the libations were poured out. So the interpretation of what I just read, he's speaking of the vineyard, or the production of the vineyard is the Torah. But he's speaking of what was supposed to be produced. And I'm sure it was some when he's talking about they produce wild berries, is they corrupted their deeds. They did wrong things. And now the dwellers of Jerusalem and men of Judah who have not yet been exiled, please judge between me and between them concerning the evil that I brought on them. Who sinned against whom? Now listen. Let's bring back. So when we've wronged God, we've offended him. We've sinned against him.
right? He requires something of us. He asks us to do something and we say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this my own way. Yeah. I'm going to do what I want to do, God. I don't care what you said to me. I don't care what you told me to do. It don't matter to me. And boo-bam. Or as Kendrick Lamar said in the new diss record, and boom. That whammy, bammy, smack that on that ass. So now you're dealing with the consequences of your rebellion. And God is saying, you're saying, oh, this ain't even fair. And I ain't going through all this stuff. And it's not fair because this ain't right. And then life is hard. And this is all the shit I'm going through. And then you're not looking at what you've done. You're not paying attention to what you have done. You're not paying attention to the things that you have done to offend God. You haven't looked at it. You haven't even consulted to find out what the fuck you're supposed to be doing in the first place to see why you offending God. But you offend him and things happen because you rebelled. Rebellion always reaps fruit thereof. We can't get mad when God deals with us. But what he says is this. I'm the one that did wrong, right? Because you now dealing with the consequences of your rebellion. When you don't do what God asks, that's fucking rebellion. Let your kids come in your house and do what the fuck they want. You ain't putting up with it. So God's supposed to put up with you. He's supposed to put up with you disobeying what you was asked. How many times have you heard me say, God gave me a word to some people, and I delivered that word, and they didn't take heed? Then God brought on the shit. He did it. He did exactly what he said. When he told them to do XYZ, they didn't do XYZ, nor did they turn around to accomplish what was said. This ain't one person. This ain't two. It's a couple of folks. That I've rendered words to that God told them to do that they did not do. And I watched him do it. And I kept begging them not to just take heed. And nobody listened. Shit, I done intervened a couple of times on multiple levels for multiple folks. That's why my ass got handed. And I ain't talking about half of the shit I might have done on my own. We don't learn from disrespecting God. And when he humbles us. See, they'll keep coming. The thing that he said to do, right? We won't do it. And then he said, I'm going to issue that judgment. Because when I told you to do something, there was a judgment attached. See, can I say it one more time? When God tells us to do something, a judgment is attached. Normally, when God is warning someone to do something, there's always the judgment attached. He warns you first, and then he tells you what's going to happen to you when you don't do exactly what you were told to do. And he's saying to the children of Israel, judge me. As if I've done something harshly by punishing you. I told you not to do this. But I told you you were going to do it. And because you was going to do it anyway, I already told you what was going to happen. I told you this was going to happen. We haven't learned, man. We haven't learned. We have not learned. We have not learned. God is not someone you can play with. He's not someone you can just do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want to JC. It don't matter to him. It don't matter. But God, when God tells you to do something, I hate that word. I'm sorry, Father. I'm sorry. When Yehovah tells you to do something, he issues you a judgment. When God is declaring, he's telling you to do exactly something, and there is a judgment attached to it. I know y'all tired of me saying it because I know y'all ain't got it yet. There's always a judgment attached. And he said his word cannot what? Return void. Meaning exactly what that judgment is. And that rebellion, it has to come forth. And it's going to keep coming forth until you do exactly the fuck he told you to do. I keep telling people stuff. They just don't ever listen. And I'm wondering, like, why do we do that? Woe to those who join a house to a house and a field to a field. They draw near until there is no place, settled alone in the midst of the land. Woe unto those that join a house to a house. 22 instances of fortunate who said in the book of Psalms concerning those who fulfill the tenets of the Torah. And Isaiah said 22 times, woe concerning the wickedness. We refuse to keep Torah. We refuse to follow the tenets of Torah. For those who join a house to a house. And when it says, whoa, it's a cry, it's an expression of cry, of a cry, a sign concerning an impeding retribution. Impeding retribution. Father God in heaven, an impeding retribution is a threatening or significant event about to happen. Retribution. Oh, man. Man. It's a punishment, right? On someone as vengeance for a wrong or a criminal act. So it's telling you that breaking Torah or a woe is something that's going to transpire for you performing a criminal act. Breaking Torah is a criminal act. Oh, Father God in heaven, help us. Those who join house to a house, they draw houses one to another, thereby taking the land of the weak poor between two houses so that there's no place for the poor to live. Do you understand the things that they were doing? So if you have a piece of land and your neighbor go down to the zoning spot and then they take up portions, you know, sometimes you have a house and it might have adjoining piece of land, and sometimes it could be more or less of whomever it is the property. So let's say if there was a certain amount of land, and the way the land was made, you can go back and draw the line and you can knock somebody out or take that land from them. And now the land that was set up for the poor or the impoverished
they completely took it over just so they wouldn't be there. That's like how now when you find the city was talking about doing like these little tiny homes, and all of the people were complaining, saying that, you know, those tiny homes will be an eyesore and all of this stuff, and how it's just it's not good, and they don't want those peoples in their neighborhoods. But you complaining about the homeless. Just find them somewhere else to stay, as long as they ain't nowhere near me.
We still, society still do this shit.
So mind you, not only were they stealing from their brothers, which is a direct violation of Torah, but you were so greedy that you couldn't provide anything for the homeless. It's kind of how I feel when I pass by a homeless person and I don't got no money, and they be looking at me and I be feeling bad because I don't got no money. Because, you know, you can't, ain't no money. People don't be having money on them anymore.
Every morning on my way to work, I pass a homeless man. We don't even help. We don't help people out. We just pretend like we don't see them. And my ears spoke. Yahuwah saw. In my ears spoke. Yahuwah Sabaoth. Truly, great houses shall become desolate. Yea, large ones and good ones without inhabitants. Beautiful, large homes. You won't even be in those anymore. You out here doing all this fancy stuff and, you know, worked hard to get these things, and God is saying that the people wouldn't have it. For 10 acres of vineyard with produce, one bath, and the seed of a homer shall produce an ephah. For 10 acres of a vineyard, and because of the famine, the inhabitants, of the house will be exiled, leaving no one dwelling in them. This too will be for your payment of kind for bringing one field near to the other field. For you have stolen the share of the omnipresent in the tide of the land. Father. Father God in heaven, help us. Help us. Ten acres of vineyard. A parrot in French. And I say that the amount of land required the work of one day with the yoke of an oxen is called a yoke. One measure of wine is a bath, is three sia, and the seed of a homer, a place where a cur, which is 30 seeds of grain, and usually produced, will produce an ephah of a seah. It's a measurement of that time. Woe to those who rise early in the morning. They pursue strong wine, and they sit until late in the evening. Wine inflames them. Ah, shit. Sit until the late of the evening to drink wine at night. So woe unto those that start off the day drinking wine. Whew. Come on, y'all. And there are harps and lute, timbrin and flute and wine at their drinking feast. And the work of Yahuwah they do not regard. And the deed of their own hands, they have not seen. Father God in heaven. He talking about partying. He talking people who got get up drinking and hanging out and partying. This is what he talking about. Yeah. That's what he talking about. When it says, and the work of Yahuwah, they do not regard. And in the Torah of Yahuwah, they do not look. They don't follow. They don't keep. They pretend that they do not see the mighty deeds of Yahuwah. Neither explanation is, I'm sorry, another explanation is they did not praise him in the morning by reciting, he who forms light, nor in the evening by reciting, he who brings on the evenings. So there's two interpretations. One is they didn't respect the things that God has given unto them. And the other one is that they didn't give praise to him in the morning when they woke up, nor in the night when they went to sleep. Most of us get up and start our day without even talking to God. We close our eyes at night without even talking to God. We don't give him thanks. We don't praise his name. We don't honor him. We don't have to go to sleep. But praise God that we were able to make it home. And we don't praise him because we didn't got up and we didn't have to wake up. There were so many things we can worship God for and give thanks unto him for that we really, when you really think about it, we really take God for granted. Therefore, my people shall go into exile because of the lack of knowledge, and its esteemed ones shall die of hunger, and its multitude shall be parched from thirst. Their heart was without knowledge. They didn't seek to understand or reverence God. Therefore, the netherworld or Sheol has expanded itself and opened its mouth without measure. And her splendor and her populace and multitude shall descend, and those who rejoice therein. Father, let us not fall into Sheol and be devoured forever. And man shall be humbled, and man shall be brought low, and the eyes of the haughty shall be brought low. And Yahuwah Sabaoth will instill in judgment. I'm sorry, will exalt in judgment. And the Holy One of Israel shall be hallowed with equity, with evenness, with equality. The lambs shall graze at their want, and the sojourners shall eat the ruins of the fat ones. Woe to those who draw the iniquity with ropes of nothingness, and like cart ropes is in sin. To draw the iniquity means they draw the evil inclination upon themselves little by little. Remember we talked about what the shaitan represents? To get us to incline to do evil. It's like knowing the right thing to do, or knowing truth, or doing something correct, but we still make the decision to do the opposite. And every day we incline the opposite way, or the more every day we incline to do what? To incline to do evil. It means you're drawn to it. To incline means you come unto it, that you follow after that, that you seeking it. Sometimes we'll say we don't do nothing wrong. But if you don't understand what God requires of you, if you don't understand what God is standard is for you, if you don't know what his standard is, if you don't understand what that really is in your life, then you run the probability of actually offending him. And see, the best way not to incline to do evil is to search God out.
Baby's fine. He always keeps me guessing. Never keeps me guessing about his love.
Okay, anyway, moving on. Upon themselves, little by little, at first with ropes of nothingness, just basic stuff. Because evil inclinations don't start off right away of being all weird. It starts off little by little. So, for example, we had a secret meeting last week to decide whether or not it would be okay to keep this child. And the child had already unalived two animals. And we were making a decision on whether it'd be okay for him to stay in treatment, because outpatient is a lot light. It's really for people who's going through like minor things. They call it intensive therapy, right? Now they have outpatient intensive therapy, but they're at the place from the morning to like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then you have the inpatient intensive therapy. You don't never leave. You just stay there until, you know, you completely get in. You have to be in extreme crisis when you're taken into that. So as this child is, the thing that made me say, okay, yeah, he really needs to be somewhere, you know, where he can get what he needs. It was when I heard that he was putting his hands around the children's neck. Now, when you're diagnosing someone with psychopathy or psychopathic tendencies, most of the time they start off very young. Unalive in animals. Six, niggas. six, right? And there's some factors, right, when you're thinking about this. And the factors is the critical component for really taking it to the next level, right? And realizing that is certain characteristics. So for me, him doing that, and when you think about a pet, right, it's like family. So if you can take out a pet, because most of the time these children unalive animals that are not pets, the severity is that these are pets. So whew, nigga, y'all not realizing how serious shit's getting with these children. Then you got genetics, family history. The probability of it going left is great, great chance. If it going in a direction that's serious. So if you're slowly by slowly inching into something,
evil inclination. It starts off simple. And when people get away with it, or that there's no recourse for them, they keep pushing or upping the ante and keep doing more and keep doing more and keep doing more. The more you incline to do wrong, the easier it becomes to you. This is why God is saying there's certain things that we can probably read in scripture and be like, oh, that ain't that bad. Well, it ain't that bad because of the world we live in. Right? It's like now how people are told that you can actually pick a gender. You're like, you can do that. Like, pick it. Like, it's something you go in a store and do and shop for. We ain't taking into consideration biology now, goddamn. It's fluid. And you can decide however time when you want to. See what I'm saying? Starts off with small things. Small infractions. Simple things. So I'm going to keep pushing the line. That's how it goes. Because the things we think in our mind that God doesn't have an issue with, we haven't really consulted to find out, nor prayed about it, to see if that's what God really wants us to do, or if it's okay for us to do. Like the thread of a spider, right? And once it provokes them, it continues to gain strength until it becomes like a cart rope, right? So if we're starting off with like something as small as a spider's web, the thread, right? And it gets to the point where it's like a cart rope or a big thick rope. That's a lot. You started off with something very thin that you really can't even see. It's so tiny. And it ends up with something concrete that's so big that it's 1,000 times bigger than what it was before. That's how we incline to do evil. Those who say, let him hurry, let him hasten his deed, so that we may see, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel approach and come. Woe to those who say that evil is good, and that good evil, who present darkness as light and light as darkness, who presents bitter as sweet and sweet as bitter. We live in a time where people confuse what's right and wrong, and they call the wrong things good and the good things wrong. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and in their own esteem of profound understanding. Listen. In their own esteem, right? The way they assess themselves or think of themselves, right? He's basically saying those who are wise in your own eyes. We full of those now on the internet. All you got is people all over the town. You hear me talk about all the time how you have all these gurus thinking they're right in their own eyes. What do I mean by that? High value man, woman, black woman in America ain't nothing. They corrupting all the remnant of the world. It's they fault. A black man, he ain't nothing. You can't depend on him. Wise in their own eyes. They think they're wisdom. They're speaking wisdom. But the words that they speak are profound, but still have no fruit. They don't produce anything. Nobody's growing from it. There's no spiritual growth because God ain't in it. Oh.
one went to the heroes to drink wine, and the valiant men to mix strong drinks. The valiant, the brave, to mix strong drink. Those who exonerate the guilty one for reward of a bribe, and the innocent of the innocent they take away from him. We reward the guilty, right? It's just like, it's like, you know, people who teach, sing music that talks about violently killing each other, and we exalt that, right? And there are people being taken to jail for no reason. Think about it. People go to jail for tax evasion. Even though y'all heard me play a video of them saying that paying taxes is voluntary. I want to say it again. Paying taxes is voluntary. Those who exonerate the guilty one. Oh, I didn't read that. Therefore, as a flame of fire consumes stubble, and a flame shrivels straw, their root shall be like rot, and their blossom shall go up like dust, for they have rejected the law, the Torah of Yahweh Sabaoth, and the word of the Holy One of Israel they have despised. What did God say? They've rejected the law. Yeah, you heard that now. They rejected the law. And because they rejected the law, they do what? They despise God. So he equates the people rejection of keeping the law as being, or them despising God. Therefore, Yahuwah has become wroth, angry. When you think about the word wroth, right? That when you think about the word wroth, it means wrathful, right? And that right there in itself. Let's get to the etymology of that. That's the best way to understand and break that word down real good, so you truly can understand what it's saying. Okay. Angry. Wrath. A source. Also Frisian. Evil. Cruel. Angry. Offended. I guess that's a good way to say it. He became offended. You've caused an offense. You've offended him. Yeah. And because you offended him, yeah, it's about to be real in these streets. So Yahuwah has become offended or wroth with his people. And he has stretched forth his hand upon them and has struck them. And the mountains have quaked, and their corpses were like spittle in the midst of the street. With all this, his anger is not turned back, and his hand is still out. Listen.
if you don't understand the severity and how serious it is to not offend God, do you hear those words? Let me read it to you one more time. Therefore, Yahuwah has become wroth, angry with his people, and he has stretched forth his hand upon them and has struck them, and the mountains have quaked, and their corpses are like spittle. What does he mean? The corpses is like spittle, like vomit, which is expelled from a person's body, which is repugnant or disgusting. It's nasty, God dog. Loathsome, rejected. It's something, you know, rejected. There's some heavy stuff, yo. And with all this, his anger has not turned back. And his hand is still outstretched. I am not done with you yet. Father, forgive us. Cause we stupid. We haven't understood offending you is a detriment to our own motherfucking life. And he shall raise and a sign to the nations from afar off. And he shall whistle to him from the end of the earth. And behold, quickly, swiftly, he shall come. Swiftly. Ah, shit, he shall came swiftly. None is weary or stumbles among them. He shall neither slumber nor sleep. The belt around his waist shall not open up, nor shall a thong of his shoes be torn to sandals. Those whose arrows are sharpened and all the bows are bent and the hooves of the horses are regarded like flint, well, like fire, and his wheels like the tempest. Listen, when they rolling, a tempest is something that swirls, like a tornado. He has a roar like a lion, and will roar like lion cubs, and he will growl and lay hold of prey, and he will retrieve it, and no one will save it, and he shall growl over it on that day like the growling of the sea. And he shall look to the land and behold darkness, the distressed one, and the light shall darken in its eclipse. Nigga, come with it. Notice how it tells you that it'll be darkness like an eclipse. Yeah, I heard that the first, when they came upon the shores of America, niggas, there was an eclipse. A lunar eclipse. Listen. If you don't know nothing, an eclipse is a symbol of something. And I don't know what's coming, but something coming, niggas. In the year of the death of King Uzziah, I saw Yahuwah sitting on a high and exalted throne, and his lower extremity filled the temple, his train. On the hem of the garment or his robe, meaning its lower extreme, I saw him sitting on his throne in heaven with his feet in the temple, his footstool in the sanctuary. It passed judgment on Uzziah, who shall come to usurp the crown of the priesthood. The nigga. Okay. Now you got a king that usurped the crown of the priesthood. So how do you have the king removing the Levitical order and setting something else in its place? Let's see. Sipharim stood above him. Six wings to each one, and two he would cover his face, and with two he would cover his feet, and with two he would fly. The Sipharim, or those are what they call angelic hosts. But no, also a sefer is also known as a book. Now, goddamn. But that's a story for another day, and we ain't finna get to it. And one called to the other, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh Sabaoth. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the doorpost quickened from the voice of him who called, and the house became filled with smoke. I bet y'all niggas think he talking about Jesus. No, I ain't talking about no JC. Talking about the Father. And the doorpost quickened from the voice of him who called, and the house became filled with smoke. The doorpost quickened. They are the doorpost of the entrance, which are measured with the measurements of a cubit in the height and the width, and they are the doorposts of the temple. And from the voice of him that called, from the voice of the angels or the Malachim, this took place on the day of the earthquake, about which it is stated in Zechariah chapter 14 and 5, "And you shall flee as you fled on the day of the earthquake in the days of Uzzah, on the day that Uzzah stood ready to burn incense in the temple. The heavens quaked because he defiled himself." The king went in operating as the high priest. Niggas, that was not a good thing. That was not a good thing. Whew. "And the heavens quaked, attempting to burn him, as if to say that his punishment should be by burning, as it said in Numbers chapter 16 and 15, and it consumed the 250 men. And for this reason, the scripture calls them Sipharim, for they attempted to burn him. The earth quaked, attempting to swallow him up, thinking that his punishment should be that he be swallowed up like Korah." Mind you, remember we talked about Korah yesterday. Korah was the man that came with 200 deep trying to challenge Moses. Now you see what happened, right? The ground opened up and swallowed all they ass up in now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See what happened when you be coming and you think you doing something? Who contested the priesthood? That's what they were doing. They contested the priesthood, didn't they? How did they contest it? Moses was given a position. They had the audacity to come contest it and thinking they could come in or say that it was their job to do it. And they was finna dethrone Moses. Oh, come on, y'all. We ain't caught up with it yet. Thereupon, a heavenly voice emitted and said, "And there shall not be another man contesting the priesthood like Korah to be swallowed up, and like his assembly to be burnt, but
as Yahuwah spoke to the hand of Moshe in the thorn bush, now bring your hand into your bosom. And he took it out, struck with, and it became like snow. Here too, the Zorath stone on his forehead. Ah, shit, the nigga was struck with whiteness. Ooh, come on, y'all ain't ready, niggas. Y'all ain't ready. Ooh-wee. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and amidst a people of unclean lips I dwell. The king, Yahuwah Tsavaot, have my eyes seen. Whew. For I am lost. It says, I will die. For I was not worthy of seeing the countenance of the Shekinah. We find a similar statement made by Mona, and that's in Judges 13 and 22. We shall surely die, for we have seen Yahuwah. I am lost. The entire people of Canaan is broken. Didn't I tell y'all niggas those Canaanites had something called clean leprosy? Now, why are they mentioning them here? People with unclean lips that are defiled with sin. And one of the sepharings flew to me, and on his hand was a glowing coal with tongues. He had taken it from upon the altar. A glowing coal, a cake bread on hot coals. Or the cake is matzah. Notice it's called matzah. Like corn meal. Matzah. Corn, wine, and oil. I'm just going to be quiet again. The cake baked on a hot coals like matzah in regards to Isaiah and Ezekiel. However, it is written with Zadi because they spoke ill of Israel. This one, and Isaiah called him to the people of unclean lips. And this one, Elijah said, for they have forsaken your covenant. And he said, the Holy One, blessed be he to the angels. Break the mouth that speak ill of my children. So in two different spaces, in Isaiah is saying the people with unclean lips, meaning these are people from another nation with unclean lips. And for some reason, they tend to liken or attach them to Canaan. And then in the book of Ezekiel, he's saying that the mouth that spoke ill of his children. So the people who were unclean spoke negatively of his children. They talked bad about them. And he caused it to touch my mouth. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity shall be removed, and your sin shall be atoned for. This is to cause pain to atone for your iniquity that you degraded Israel. He degraded them by operating in an office that he wasn't called to do. And his strength was great, for the angel was afraid to take it without tongues. Man, it got me out of the spot. Sorry. Yet he
caused it to touch the prophet's lips, and he, the prophet, was not injured. This is found in Tahama. This is the meaning of the scripture that states in Joel 2:11, "For his camp is very great. These are the angels. The stronger than they are those who fulfill his word. These are the prophets." Jonathan renders, "And in his hand was a glowing coal," to mean, "in his mouth was speech, a word that was given." Listen, so I remember a long time ago, and then I'm gonna stop here, and I'm stopping at verse 8. Remember I told you a while back that the boo had a calling on him. And see, everything he's experienced has to do with him not operating in that space, right? When you understand, God is going to get what he's supposed to get from you. When you really understand that he's called you to do something, there is something that you have to fulfill. And because we've gotten to a point where things are getting closer, and this thing that he has for him to do, he's weighing on that timeline. So when you weigh on the timeline of God, it's going to get worse if you don't give in to what he needs you to do, right? You can't fight with God. You can wrestle with him if you want to, but you ain't going to make it, goddammit. You understand? So when I think about him saying that he put those words in his mouth, he had a purpose for Isaiah. And that purpose was to bring forth a word. And that word that's burning within him, it has to be accomplished. Now, you can do it willingly. You can do it willingly, which is the easier way, right? It's easy. Or you could do it the hard way. You can buck up against the grain. You can keep ignoring what you were asked. But if he strongly keep doing, you know, like it's some easy, like when we're not really listening, because God can take our lives. See, we don't really contemplate this. We don't think about how something can get worse. I had an interview today. And this young lady said, the reason why she does the work that she does so great when she is talking to people, you know, in counseling, she said, there came a time in my life when I was crippled with sickness. When that sickness hit me, she said, I kept saying, why me, God? Why me? She said, one day he said, why not you? And everything changed after her crying out to God. Remember I told you when God, He will break us, right? Because we don't listen. He will break us. And when we get to the point where we've been broken. Because see, sometimes we go through some stuff, it's hard, and it keeps being hard, but we haven't been broken. To be broken. You wanna do what he asks so that he doesn't break you. We haven't really understood the importance of obedience is better than sacrifice. You know what I'm saying?
And when you really don't understand how God operates, when you haven't really taken heed, but you really need to, you understand what I'm saying? When you really need to, we don't listen, we don't take heed, we don't listen, we don't take heed, we do what we want and we walk how we want, but God is not someone you can ignore. Not when you belong to Him. Do you get me? So what when this goes off, people, I want you to reflect. I want you to reflect on your life. And I really want you to really think about the things that God require of you. And if you really going wrong with it, I speak to your inner self today. I challenge you to follow it. What He told us, yeah, don't make him do it. Please. I don't know who need to hear this. Don't make him do it. Please don't make him do it. Please don't make him do it. Just follow what He asked. And it will be well with you. You will see. Father. It's been a long time since I've done this. Father God in heaven. Teach us to walk right in You. Teach us to fear You and teach us obedience. And help us to understand obedience is so much greater than sacrifice. Let us not sacrifice ourselves by dishonoring You. Show us grace so that we follow You in fullness, that we walk in Your precepts, that we do and walk according to the way You have for us to do. That we walk right, that it will be well. Much, much love and respect to you, fam. I got some reflecting and praying to do. Yeah. Shalom. Shama Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Well, Passover is this month, so I'm looking forward to it. I am looking forward to Passover this year because I'm ready for some new changes and some growth in God and some prosperous things coming in the new year. Yeah. I love y'all. Peace.